though wise men at their end, no dark is right. Because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
Hey guys, this is episode 25 of the Midcasters. I'm your co-host, Jalen, always joined by the amazing
Craig, favorite film talker.
And I know we talk about Marvel a lot this week, but I think we're going to have to talk about it a little bit more this week, but like sprinkle in Russo Brothers and Millie Bobby Brown. So let's dive in. So Craig, did you see The Electric State yet?
Oh my God. After Brandon revealed it, it doesn't seem like it's not surprising that it's getting a lot of heat, but usually I try to stay away from Netflix films considering a lot of them are hit or miss, but I have got to watch it now.
I say they're good only when they buy it like at a festival or something, because it's not a Netflix original, if that makes sense.
Well, Emilia Perez would prove you wrong on that one.
Oh yeah, I thought that was an original. Okay, well, it should have been His Three Daughters. I stand corrected. And Maria, because that was an amazing film. But with The Electric State coming out and $320 million, yes, you heard that right, budget, it seems like the Russo brothers can't make a solid movie without having Kevin Feige to hold their hand.
Oh my God. Their films, I tried to watch one of their, I don't even remember the name of the film. It was a horror film. It was one of the actors from Sex Education, which is a UK Netflix series.
Something Devil, because it has like Robert Pattinson in it, right?
I'd have to check Letterboxd. I'm not too sure. I don't really
remember. It definitely has Tom Holland, though. Poor Tom Holland has to take one for the team.
Now, Tom Holland, there is definitely potential there.
There is.
I just don't think he's shown that. Yeah. He's not on like Sebastian Stan or a Robert Downey Jr. like when it comes to his projects outside of Marvel.
I agree. I mean, he did Cherry with the Russo brothers, and I haven't seen it just because it doesn't look good. His show on Apple is okay, but that's only because of Amanda Seyfried, because she held the whole thing together. And you wouldn't have known what it was loosely adapted by for the, I think it was 22 Minds of Billy Milligan. It's the multiple personality disorder. And you wouldn't have gotten that until like six episodes in. And by that time, you're already committed and you just saw this man was being framed for something.
That is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that, yeah, if you see it, you'll understand like why his hair was so long for the longest time. Yeah, definitely don't recommend it unless you love Amanda Seyfried. But the Russo brothers, man, it just seems like they cannot make a solid movie without having their hand held. And clearly Netflix isn't holding their hand enough.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe they should stick to Marvel.
Debatable, because Endgame wasn't the best movie, but it wasn't the worst movie, if that makes sense. Like, it didn't help that they made it back to back, which is what they're doing now with Doomsday and what was it called, Secret Wars. So one of them is going to be bad and it's probably going to be the last one. But speaking of the Russo brothers, Millie Bobby Brown continues to be locked in by her Netflix contract. This woman cannot make a movie for the life of her.
And we were talking about this the other day with Brandon, who's a friend of the podcast. He was saying that, what was it? Oh yeah, he said he doesn't understand how she's in the business, film industry business, but she hates watching films. It's kind of confusing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying too. And then it reminded me of when Chris Evans said that he doesn't really read books or watch anything. So I'm like, what do you do all day, every day? How are you preparing for your roles? How are you having a love for movies? How does she fall into Stranger Things is my question. I don't like Stranger Things. And I don't really know a lot of people that do, because like it takes them like 3 or 4 years to like make a new season. And by that time I've already moved on. If you see her again, it's not going to be in like a studio film. Like she's only in Netflix films. Cause that's the only people that are willing to hire her.
Which is really unfortunate, because I mean, if the scripts that she was getting actually had some, you know, if they were actually well developed and the acting was good, then we wouldn't have so many complaints.
Yeah, it seems, okay, so it seems like with the Stranger Things, it seems like there's this common theme. So these are the main people that I've seen come out of it that like have gotten bigger roles. Obviously, you have Sadie Sink. You have Winona Ryder, who's had this resurgence in her career, which is amazing because I love her. David Harbour, because he was already doing amazing things. And Joseph Quinn.
And Finn Wolfhard is doing pretty good, too.
Ooh, I forgot about him. But it just seems like Millie Bobby Brown, either she's like going for other roles at other studios and she's just not getting them, or she's not. And she just has like this attitude about her. I'm like, girl, if you were like a good actor, like a Margot Robbie or something, then you could have room to be a bitch. Excuse my language. But like, girl, you're not that good of an actress to be behaving like this.
Outside of the Stranger Things, outside of the Stranger Things stuff, there doesn't really seem to be any kind of interest in the projects that she's in. I think she needs to find something outside of Netflix, because they aren't doing her
anything. If she can. I don't know if she can. And once Stranger Things ends, which is what, this year or next year, I don't think we're going to see her in not a Netflix movie. Just like Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
She's not a box office draw, man. Neither are the Russo brothers, in my opinion. The only ones that are box office draws that seem to be like are like the people in the movies. And speaking of the Russo brothers, they were giving cards, like playing cards, of who's in the movie, how much they're being paid to kind of incentivize them for putting them in the movie, per se. Like how much we're going to see them. And I think that's absolutely insane.
Ugh, God, well.
I'm scared. I know you're scared too.
Yeah, I'll pass.
I mean, what else gets me is that Robert Downey Jr. says he's creating a whole backstory. And I'm like, he has a whole comic book, like hundreds, maybe thousands of comic books that he's in. Like, you can watch the old movies he's in. You can watch old shows that he's in. Like, I just don't understand why he needs to create a whole lore when it's already there. And that tells me that maybe they haven't written it for him, and that we're just supposed to know how Doom becomes Doom, I guess. And yeah, I don't know if that's going to go over very well. And I also still think that they don't have a script, so I'm very confused how they're filming already.
He had the perfect swan song.
He did have a perfect swan song. He really did. And he's like, oh, you're going to pay me how much? Okay, I'll come back. And can I have 50 trailers and for you guys not to pay people fairly? He's like, I need 50 trailers on site. Nobody else can outshine me. I'm like, bro, you're not Tony Stark in real life. Chill out.
I mean, I don't think he has that big of a ego compared to some other people that have in their contract that they can't lose a fight.
Oh, you mean The Rock?
Yeah. Well, and yeah. Jason Statham, but the difference is at least Jason Statham, the movies are entertaining.
Yeah, that's true. So we have some other kind of Marvel news-ish. So Captain America 4 disappointingly has ended its run. What are your thoughts on that? Also, I still don't think a month is enough for a movie to be in the theaters. That's just my opinion on that. What are your thoughts on it?
Honestly, I think Marvel set this thing up for failure. Apparently, the film grossed $177.2 million in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and $371.8 million worldwide on a $180 million budget. That's not good.
That's how I feel about Ms. Marvel. Not Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel. The Marvels, whatever it's called. Because I'm like, if they would have moved, I'm still going to be on this. If they moved it to where the Deadpool thing was, okay, and then moved Deadpool to where the Captain America 4 thing was, and then Captain America 4 to Thunderbolts, and then so on and so forth, and then maybe had Fantastic Four come out in 2026, and then moved everything out a year, I think it would have been better. I think they did purposely set up these for failure. I'm not saying it's a sexist thing or a race thing, but this is what it's seeming like to me.
I mean, let's call a spade because when we all know that Disney is very poor when it comes to like protecting their actors of color, not only actors of color, but also their women as well.
Mm-hmm. They were not one of them came out in support of Nina DaCoste, Brie Larson, who is an Oscar winner, might I add. And it's just very sad because like there could have been such an opportunity to show off their chemistry and like some random press to like get that to generate $1 billion, but they just did not care.
Right.
And that's sad to me.
And the only people that were mad at, the only thing Brie Larson said was that we need more people of color as movie reviewers. And a lot of, and a lot of, you know, older white dudes got upset at that. I'm like, you're just showing your misogyny and your racism.
It's like Barbie. Like, that movie's clearly not made for a white man. It's made for women. Little Women, again, made for a woman, not for a man. And it's just like, that is what she was getting at, and people were like upset about that. But she's an Oscar winner, so people need to lay off of her.
Right. And I think that like Captain America Brave New World, I really liked the first like half an hour to like 40 minutes. Like that, mm-hmm. that like the first like 30, 40 minutes actually feels like a Captain America movie, but the rest it feels just like Incredible Hulk 2. And I felt like the reshoots didn't really add anything to the story.
They just took out a bunch of stuff from it.
Yeah.
And that's sad. But moving on to our next thing, which I feel like not a lot of people are talking about, but I'm also going to bring up this fact, is that Agatha All Along debuted with more viewers than Daredevil Born Again. That's how I'm going to start this. But what are your thoughts on season one so far?
I just finally caught up, like, a few hours ago, I finally caught up with the first three episodes. Episode one was, it just made me so mad. The CGI
spoilers
was, I'm not giving away anything for the plot, but I will say the action sequences in the first episode was a major downgrade from what I was used to seeing from the Netflix Daredevil series. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
The CGI spot fest, it was just so bad. It left a bad taste in my mouth. And even there are even certain scenes in the first episode where certain characters are looking over the New York skyline and even CGI.
It looks so bad. And I was like, I thought they filmed in New York, so I was confused. The CGI looks so bad. But then you get to the second one, and it's more like I'm just going to say it. And the men can hate this. I don't care. It was like a lower grade Law and Order. I've said what I've said. It's a low grade Law and Order Criminal Intent. Not even SVU. Not even that good.
I don't even watch any of them. There's way too many of them.
Yeah, it was just a law drama, which is what She-Hulk was. Okay, men, boys, children. And they were just upset with it.
No, I mean, they were upset. They were upset at Megan Thee Stallion twerking with She-Hulk.
I love that. That was funny.
I'm like, that makes me want to watch the show.
I thought it was funny because Tony literally pissed in his suit and danced in it and like fought Rhodey in his suit drunk. So like, I don't understand. What's the issue here?
Right. I think and they were also complaining about, what was it? Like She-Hulk not being accurate when it comes to like the law stuff. But even the writer of the show said that she's not well versed on like the law aspect of like being a lawyer,
which is why you would need to go out to get that reference. It was okay. Daredevil is okay. It's not the greatest show. I get it. He fights with the fat kingpin man. That's his beef the entire season. I get it. And like at some point in time, the Punisher comes in. I know that. Bullseye, not my Bullseye of Colin Farrell, but a Bullseye is in it.
Oh my God. Colin Farrell's just picked the Penguin.
That is my Bullseye. He even has it in the middle of his head. And I like the Kingpin from the movie. That's just my opinion. I thought he was scarier.
Well, you need to watch the Netflix series.
No, thank you. I will skip. I get the gist of it. It is a law drama, and through the course of the law drama, you got multiple villains.
It is Kingpin, not law and order.
But the Kingpin is like the boss. I always think about, when I think of Kingpin, I think about the time Kate Bishop tried to fight him. She tried so hard, and he just would not go down. And I can only imagine Yelena fighting him and what would happen. She would be confused.
The first episode was garbage. The second episode, first episode, the 4 out of 10, second, 7 out of 10, and third, 8 out of 10. But I can't wait to see what happens going forward because, yeah, I want to see Kingpin, you know, and Matt go back and forth.
Please just bring back practical fight scenes. I feel like if Christopher Nolan saw the show, he would probably have a heart attack of how bad it looks.
Oh my God.
He'd be like, there's definitely a way to do this. Maybe this will inspire Tom Holland to be like, yeah, can I get more practical stuff?
Yeah. But then again, I love Nolan, but his fight scenes and his films are terrible.
I love practical. That's how I am. That's all I'm going to say about that.
It's not, and I do agree, but he's very poor at choreographing his fight scenes because a lot of people don't want to admit the fact that the Dark Knight movies, their fight scenes were god awful.
Not as bad as the Zack Snyder ones.
Oh, don't. That was Justice League.
Oh my gosh. You know what that reminded me of? Did you see this, the release from Snow White?
Are you talking about the trailer?
No, not the trailer. They released part of her singing, but it was like, it was like a loop of the same song. So I'm like, oh, did they not want to show us the whole scene? Stop sharing. You can cut this whole part out then. It's okay. Anyways, you can start off where we pick off. Yeah, she sings a song. It is like an endless loop. Something about a little hiccup, and it's just her dancing in her little outfit. I just know she has 7 dwarves. I was under the impression they cut them, but then they're all CGI all of a sudden.
So I have real people. I have no desire to see this.
I have no desire to see it either, but there was like a little thing where they're like about the premiere, which I guess was like, I think yesterday or Friday. I don't know. But it was like a whole thing about like not inviting certain press people or something.
Which, yeah, and it, they've come under fire for, well, they come under fire for a lot of different reasons, but this is the least promoted Disney live action film that I have seen yet.
Maybe Mulan would be mine, because they had taken out all the songs, which I know caused a big issue.
And they also took out Mushu and Cricket. And
don't get me started with that. Makes me upset.
And they took out Lee Shang and what's his name? Not Jet Li. Oh,
of course they
the
did.
Dubbing, they did everything. The dubbing on Jet Li's voice was absolutely atrocious. It looked like a old karate movie from the 60s. It was just so terrible. I'm like, how did y'all dub over Jet Li's voice?
It's Disney for you. It's Disney for you. So we have another news too. Sadie Sink has officially been cast in Spider-Man 4. And some people seem to think she's playing Mary Jane. We already have an MJ. We don't need a second MJ. But another theory is that she could be playing a multiverse version of Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst's character's daughter, or Jean Grey, which I feel like I've seen crazy things happen in Marvel, so I definitely can see that happening.
I really hope it's the latter. I hope it's that she's playing Jean Grey. I don't really need another MJ. Yeah. I just want to see the X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, I see it. I don't know how it would fit. Come on. I mean, I just want to see Jean Grey converse with Wanda. The only difference is Wanda can control her powers way better than Jean Grey. Jean Grey doesn't understand her powers well enough to do it. She never could.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, Wanda would wally-mop her ass. But yeah, I kind of hope it's her, because we don't need another MJ. It doesn't make any sense to have a Mary Jane Watson and then a Michelle Jones. Because I was under the impression Michelle Jones was MJ the entire time, like the real MJ, that they just changed her name for whatever reason.
No, they just don't have all the rights, because Sony wanted to make those god-awful, you know, Spider-Man spinoff films that nobody gave a crap about.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Speaking of Marvel and Disney, we also got some trailer looks for the live-action Lilo and Stitch and Freakier Friday, the second Freaky Friday. What are your thoughts on those? Are you excited for them? Will you be pushing children out of the way?
Well, no to both of them.
Okay.
I've already discussed my disdain for remakes and sequels. There isn't really a whole lot of remakes and sequels that I particularly, I mean, remakes and reboots that I particularly gravitate to, other than, you know, the Planet of the Apes films, which I thought were magnificent, the 2011 and 2017 ones. But these, it's your Friday, but, you know, a lot of people were upset about the whole Pleakley thing, you know, cross-dressing and Lilo and Stitch, and
I thought it looked fine to me.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised that they did that, because I think Disney is afraid of taking risks like that, in especially considering who, you know, runs the U.S.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. I'll still be sad. It looks fun to me. But yeah, sometimes sequels or reboots are not the best. So, I mean, like Moana, we definitely don't need a live action Moana. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I think it's way too early for a live action Moana.
I know. And speaking of Moana, The Rock will be in a Martin Scorsese movie. flop, immediate flop. I don't know, man.
I am still trying to decipher this. So apparently, it's going to follow Hawaiian crime boss by bidding for control of organized crime in the U.S. state, starring Emily Blunt, Leo, and himself, of course.
Martin, there are other actors that are not named Leonardo DiCaprio. I hate to break that to you. Please, for the love of the Lord above, cast literally anybody else to be in your movie as a lead, not Robert De Niro. Take a break from him, too. We need a break.
And apparently it's going to be written by Nick Bilton, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, and it's set in the 60s and 70s in Hawaii when a charismatic mob boss rose to build a powerful criminal empire.
Okay, that sounds like Goodfellas, but Hawaii version. That's what it sounds like to me, man. I don't know if I can deal with that. Oh my gosh.
I'll have to see a trailer first.
I'm not going to see it. I refuse to see anything The Rock's in. Like, out of principle, I won't be doing that.
I do love, despite Leo and you know, his personal stuff, I do love his acting. So, I don't know. Maybe.
That is true. Hopefully, no Oscar for that. We love you, Leo, but stop. Anyways, let's move on to Io Debre, who was rumored to be in Pirates of the Caribbean, not the Margot Robbie one, but like kind of taking over from Johnny Depp, which we all know he said that he didn't want to do it again, but it does seem like he wants to do it again. But people are really hating the idea of her possibly taking over, which they don't understand the magnitude of how amazing she is.
Yeah, and she was received, well, it's mainly because, well, two reasons. Well, I think it mainly sums up to one reason, but I guess you can count this as two. She's Black, and she's a woman. So even if it was a Black man or Asian man, I mean, the hate would still be there, but it would be massively different.
I would like it, and I would also like to see Penelope Cruz come back, because I really liked her character in this movie.
I stopped after the third one, because
I have a fun time with it. It's fun every time I watch it, and for the for the longest time they said Trident, and I don't know like why I couldn't piece it together in my mind what the Trident was. I know what it is, but they kept saying, I was like, what is this Trident they're talking about? And literally just a fork. That's what was.
I love the second film the most. That's my favorite out of the bunch. That's my favorite one. I haven't seen 4 or 5 and don't have a desire to.
I don't really like the newer one.
Yeah. I don't think I'll go past 3. But Io Debre is very talented. I love her work. And a lot of y'all are just haters.
100% true. I would see her in it because it would add a little bit more comedy to it. And I think she would do really good Johnny Depp. I love Johnny Depp. He's so good. But he also kind of scares me in his movies. Like Black Mass terrified me.
I think he's one of the best character actors.
He really is. And he's never won an Oscar. I don't get it. All Amber Heard's fault. We'll just blame her for it. Anyways, we're going to end off this episode on some lighter notes. What have you recently seen, movies or show-wise?
With movies, I did a double feature yesterday, and I watched Novocaine and Opus, which is the A24 horror film with Io Debre, where she's like, it's basically like a combination of Midsommar and Get Out.
That sounds interesting.
And I just caught up with the Reacher TV series and in Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah, sorry for watching that. It's okay. I still need to watch The Skeleton Crew. TBD on that. I don't know. Calling it the Goonies is what's throwing me off. I have been watching Long Bright River. It's a show on Peacock with Amanda Seyfried, and she plays a police officer who works in like a working women's area of Philadelphia. But she actually cares because like that's where she grew up. And it has me on the edge of my seat. I really enjoy it. I feel like not enough people talk about Peacock. I tried to watch Night Bitch. I turned it off after 40 minutes. It made me uncomfortable. Yeah, don't watch it. The poster is misleading.
What is it, depressing?
It's gross. It was unsettling. Let me put it that way. Unsettling.
It couldn't be any worse than
She's growing a tail.
a tail.
A dog tail. Correct, correct, correct. She's a new mom, and she's basically, I kind of feel like she's going through some type of postpartum depression, but she's like turning into a dog. I'm being dead serious. She's turning into a dog.
That sounds odd. I'm in.
It was unsettling. It's on Hulu. And I watched Thelma, peak cinema. That was cinematic. Oscar right now. Also, the dude who plays her grandson in it is also one of the twins in Gladiator 2. Brother, you lie. That one. I don't know the brother's name. But that's really
Okay.
good. It has Parker Posey in it, Clark Gregg. Basically, she gets scammed out of money, so she goes on this mission with this other old dude, and he has like this double scooter for them both, okay? And they run away. She takes him out of the retirement home, they run away, and they go get her money back.
If I can find it, I'll put it on my list.
Yes, that one's on Hulu. I really enjoyed that one. I really enjoyed September 11 too. That was a really interesting movie. I wish we would have got more perspective from like what was happening inside, because I know that there was one person who did escape. And it was about the Munich Olympics, about how the Israeli Olympic team was unfortunately taken from this earth way too soon.
Yeah.
It's really sad. There's another one, and I think it's by Steven Spielberg, so I'm gonna try to find that one to watch that.
And where is there any streaming service that I can watch September 5th on?
September, I don't know if it's fifth or five, but it is on Paramount Plus, and it has Maggie Gyllenhaal's husband in it, and I can't remember his name, one of the Skarsgårds.
Oh, I keep forgetting that Bill has a husband. I mean, damn it,
Maggie.
brother.
Yeah, no, because they have like three or four of them, don't they? I think he's a Skarsgård, isn't he?
I believe you would know more than me.
I feel like he is, and I can't remember what else I've seen him in. I feel like he plays a villain a lot. He was in the show with Jake Gyllenhaal, Presumed Innocent, and he was like the other like district attorney.
Okay, hold on. Let me look it up
I think
right
his name
now.
is Bill.
Yeah, he
No.
has. Yeah, there's four of them.
Yeah. It's the older one. He's married to Maggie Gyllenhaal, Jake Gyllenhaal's brother.
Oh,
Sister.
okay. Gotcha.
That one's really good, but there is like other versions of it out there, and this is all from the ABC, from when they're doing the Olympics.
Okay, let me see.
Yeah, they just added it on Paramount.
Yeah, I have to add that to my list.
I've been watching a lot of films off my list lately, so I'm trying to cross them off. And I did watch Lighthouse as well, which was interesting to say the least. I felt like I was gaslit, or maybe I was confused that it was all me. But yeah, moral of the story is don't go to a lighthouse and work there, or work with anybody named William Defoe.
Oh, I still need to watch that.
Yeah, and it was on my watch list. I've been crossing off like a bunch, like things that are on there. And I was trying a new series where I'm watching stuff I haven't seen yet, just to kind of get them crossed off.
I'm trying to, like, everything that's on my watch list. Let's see. I have a bunch, but yeah, I'm just trying to. I haven't even cracked them yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to save the sadder movies for last. That's why I haven't seen We Live in Time yet. I know, I'm really bad. I gotta watch that. I gotta be in the mood for it, like, mentally, you know? Because, like, I gotta be committed to a sad movie.
Right.
I have to be in the right mindset, essentially. I still need to see The Apprentice. I saw A Different Man, and that was, like, really unsettling. Like, not in a good way unsettling, though. It was really weird to me.
Is it? Is that the one where he plays? That's not the one where he plays Trump, is it?
No, The Apprentice is the one where he plays Trump.
And which performance did you prefer over the other?
I haven't seen The Apprentice yet.
Okay, yeah, I definitely have to watch both of them.
Yeah, A Different Man is on Max. I still need to watch The White Lotus season 3. I haven't started it yet. I know I'm bad with that. I'm like real bad. I gotta be in like right mindset for things. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to make a bad day worse by watching a really sad movie. That won't do good for me.
Yeah, let's see. Elvis is on my list. Elvis, Rebel Ridge, Adventureland, Interstellar, Arrival, Zodiac, a bunch of other stuff.
You know, one old movie that I finally crossed off my watch list because I really wanted to watch a James Dean movie, Rebel Without a Cause. And I was like, that was okay. I'm sorry, guys, for those who love it, but that was not a good movie.
Is that considered a classic?
I guess it is. Well, because like he's like, first off, James Dean's cute. R.I.P. James Dean. May you forever rest in peace. Anyways, he like goes to this high school, and it's in Hollywood essentially, and they spend a lot of time at the observatory back in the day when you could like park at the observatory on top of the mountain. And it's just like these boys like bullied him and like pressured him into doing stuff. And they did this thing where it's like, okay, the last person to like get out of their car loses. And so the kid like drives off the cliff because like he was no punk. And he died. And he goes, I can't live with this. I got to go tell the police. And so the boys like go after him. And then like the friend, it's a whole thing. It's like overly long. I get how it's a classic, but it's overly long.
It's close to 2 hours.
You would have thought it was like 3 hours.
It's funny because some movies that aren't that long feel that long. And some movies that are long don't feel that long.
Exactly. It's like when I was watching Thelma, it felt like it was a 3 hour movie, but it was like, it was only an hour and like 39 minutes or something like that. But like, you couldn't tell that.
Right.
Because you were just like into the story.
That's how I feel about Wicked. Like, I love Wicked, and the movie is 3 hours long. So at first, when I saw that, I was like, I'm not too sure. But the pacing is done so well, it like flew by.
That's how I was feeling about Daredevil. Like, I felt like the pacing was very well. Like, it felt like it got a lot of story into the story. Whereas, like, when you watch something like, I don't know, Secret Invasion, like, I just didn't feel like there was a lot of story in there. And it didn't, like, really use the actresses appropriately. Like, Olivia Colman or, like, Emilia Clarke. And I was like, you have all these amazing actors, and I'm like, you're not using them. And I just feel like this show is like 20 minutes long.
Right.
And it's just like, I want it to be like an Apple TV show. Silo, it like immerses you into it. And I feel like Marvel can't do that anymore. It's like you're waiting for it to be over.
There is this, I was checking out the reviews, the reviews for Rebel Without a Cause, and one of them says 4 stars. James Dean is not a snack. He is breakfast, lunch, after lunch snack dinner, after dinner snack, midnight snack, and a glass of refreshing cold water at 4 a.m.
That is 100% true. I can see it. I think that's the only James Dean movie I've ever seen, though. My old actor that I like would be like Audrey Hepburn.
I have to think about that.
Yeah, we all have like an older actor that like kind of draws us into the older movies. Mine would be like her. I wasn't really pulled in by like Marilyn Monroe, even though her movies are good. I just wasn't pulled in by her. I wasn't pulled in by James Dean, but Audrey Hepburn is like, girl, would be in like so many rom-coms today. She's hilarious.
Yeah. Mine's is, now that we're talking about it, mine's is Angela Bassett. I have a massive crush on Angela Bassett.
No, I mean like old school Hollywood. Like back in the day, like the 50s and 60s. Oh,
you mean like 70s, 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like back in the day.
I have to think about that.
Yeah. It's hard because like you'll find one. We all find one that we kind of draw to. But yeah, James Dean, not it for me. Marilyn, the only one I liked was her, and she's on the boat. She's not like a gold digger, but she kind of is a gold digger. And she's like traveling with her friend on the boat. And I think she's getting married to a guy, but the guy like doesn't trust her. Like the dad's guy doesn't trust her. So he like puts a PI on her or something. But she's like kind of dumb. But she's not really dumb.
Right.
She's like, I love money. I don't know. I just find it funny to me. Or like James Stewart. He's funny. But like Vertigo, that wasn't for me. I could not finish that movie. That movie freaked me out. But yeah, those are the things we've watched this week. That was episode 25 of the Midcasters. I'm your co-host, Jalen. And as always, you can find me on the website at www.themidcasters.com. All of my socials are there. Craig, where can they find you?
On all socials, you can find me, Craig Jr. 97, and YouTube is All Nerd Everything.
And that was episode 25 of the Midcasters. See you guys next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good week.
I am Optimus Prime.
When I came to you with those calculations, we thought we might start a chain reaction that would destroy the entire world.
I remember it well. What of it?
I believe we did.